Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. What if far more people are infected with coronavirus than previously thought? A preliminary study that tested more than 800 adults in Los Angeles County for COVID-19 antibodies suggests that's the case. Those antibodies indicate someone's been exposed to the virus. KPCC's Robert Garova has more.
With these preliminary results, researchers estimate that somewhere between 220,000 and 440,000 Angelenos have already been infected. That's a lot more than the almost 14,000 cases confirmed so far. But, says USC's Dr. Niraj Sood, the study's lead investigator,
what the findings show is that only 4% of our population has been infected, which means we are very early in the epidemic. And many more people in LA County could potentially be infected.
The good news is that with the additional hundreds of thousands of estimated cases, LA County's mortality rate is expected to come way down from the more than 4% it's at now. The county is currently averaging about 50 COVID-19 deaths a day. That makes the virus the county's number one killer, even beating out coronary heart disease. Researchers say they hope to replicate the antibody study in the coming weeks. For the California Report, I'm Robert Garova in Los Angeles.
President Trump announced on Twitter last night he plans to temporarily suspend immigration into the U.S. He says it's a way to protect jobs. Few details as usual, but it'll likely be challenged in the courts. So here's the latest on another part of our immigration system and how it's been affected by coronavirus. A federal judge in Southern California has ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to consider releasing all detainees nationwide who are at risk of contracting COVID-19. KQED's Farida Javala Romero reports.
U.S. District Judge Jesus Bernal says ICE must promptly identify every detainee who's at serious risk from coronavirus because of their advanced age, chronic health conditions, or pregnancy. The agency must then review whether they can be released from detention centers, says Judge Bernal. Plaintiff lawyers say healthcare at many ICE detention centers is substandard, and the agency is not adequately protecting the most vulnerable detainees. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in ICE facilities has grown to 220 detainees and 30 employees, including 28 cases in California. ICE did not immediately return requests for comment. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
60 inmates at a state prison in San Bernardino County have tested positive for COVID-19, and two men recently paroled from that facility have also tested positive for the virus. KQED's Julie Small reports that's raising concerns about the prison's virus outbreak spreading.
One of the men died in a halfway house in Los Angeles County. The other is isolated in a hotel room in Mendocino County. Both men were quarantined at the California Institution for Men before their releases in early April because they'd been exposed to the virus. One of them, a 63-year-old who paroled to the city of Compton, died on April 11th after an apparent respiratory failure. He tested positive for COVID-19 after his death, according to documents filed in federal court Monday. The other, younger parolee was first released to Stanislaus County, then traveled over 200 miles to stay with a family member in Mendocino County.
The area that he was in was not suitable due to the close proximity of the neighbors.
Mendocino County Sheriff Matt Kendall says officials isolated and tested the man once they were forwarded a letter from the prison saying the parolee had been exposed to the virus.
What I want to know is how many releases did Pino make? Where did those guys go? How many of these letters went out to public health departments?
A spokeswoman for the prisons says nurses notify health officials whenever they release inmates who were quarantined. Inmates confirmed to have the virus while in prison have not been released, but relatively few have been tested. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Remember when planned utility outages, not coronavirus, was the big news story we were reporting daily? Well, it's still an issue, and a coalition of local government and clean energy groups is asking California's public utilities regulator, the State Public Utilities Commission, to issue emergency rules for wildfire-related electricity shutoffs during the COVID-19 pandemic. KQED Science reporter Daniel Venton has more.
The proposed order would require PG&E and other power providers to assess how shutoffs would affect hospitals with coronavirus patients. Here's Christopher Godley, Director of Emergency Management for Sonoma County.
That would allow for local jurisdictions to have a discussion with PG&E about these power shutoffs to really limit the impact of the power shutoffs in the community, especially for facilities like medical healthcare facilities, where we need that power during this kind of event.
The utilities had until the end of Monday to give the CPUC their input on the request. For the California Report, I'm Danielle Venton.
In a legislative hearing yesterday in Sacramento, members of both parties said they wanted more oversight over how Governor Newsom is responding to the pandemic, especially when it comes to how money is being spent, like a recent deal to buy millions of masks from China. KQED Politics reporter Katie Orr has more.
Lawmakers at the hearing stressed they believe Governor Gavin Newsom is doing a good job of responding to California's coronavirus outbreak, but Republicans and Democrats had questions about how Newsom is spending money related to COVID-19. The legislature gave Newsom broad authority to spend up to $1 billion to fight the pandemic when it began. Now, Assembly Budget Chair Phil Ting says it's time for it to get more involved.
We also feel like we have a very important role to play, especially as it comes to the appropriation and the expenditure of these resources.
Lawmakers also expressed frustration about a lack of communication from the administration around the distribution of protective equipment. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's turn now to the plight of local governments. As tax revenues dwindle because of the business shutdown, the state's largest cities are getting financial help from the federal government through the CARES Act. But cities of less than 500,000 people, at least for now, are on their own. So, what's it like to run a smaller city during the pandemic? We reached out to Peter Weiss, the mayor of Oceanside in North San Diego County. Population, 176,000.
I think the cabin fever is starting to set in because we're starting to see a lot of people asking and pushing to say, hey, we need to start opening things up again. And that's one of the things we have been wrestling with. We actually put together an economic recovery task force several weeks ago to look at what can we start planning for as the economy comes back, because it certainly is a big issue for us to regenerate that economy, to get people back to work as soon as possible, but recognizing that you can't push too soon because you still need to maintain and recognize people's health to make sure that we don't, you know, create another wave of infections.
So, Mayor Weiss, with every day that businesses are closed in Oceanside, what does that mean then for the city's municipal finances? How much is being lost?
So we're looking from our finance director. She's projecting for next year. I don't know so much for this year, but for next year, we're looking between our sales tax and our hotel taxes about a $3 to $4 million decrease in revenues.
So how significant is that for a city the size of Oceanside?
Well, if you look at our library budget, it's the whole library. If you look at our parks and rec budget, it's pretty much the whole parks and rec. I mean, not that we would be eliminating those services, obviously, but it does mean looking at where can we do some systematic reductions to save money. Hopefully, when the economy starts coming back, the hit we're going to take this next fiscal year is going to be short-lived, so we can plan appropriately. It's not like back in the prior recession where we had wholesale reductions in home values that carried on for multiple years. So I think we're going to see this is not going to be a short recovery, but I think over a two-year period, I think we hopefully will be able to rebound enough and enough people get back to work and start generating revenue, not just for themselves, but for the city, so we can recover a lot quicker.
All right. Peter Weiss, the mayor of the city of Oceanside, we wish you luck and thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, the coronavirus pandemic has caused an enormous amount of damage. But here and there, it has done some good, like this. That's the sound of a nearly empty LA freeway during morning rush hour. A new study out of UC Davis says less traffic means fewer crashes, and that's created big cost savings. KQED's Dan Brecke reports.
UC Davis's Road Ecology Center studied collision data from the California Highway Patrol for the first 3 weeks after Governor Gavin Newsom issued his statewide stay-at-home order on March 19th. Center co-director Fraser Schilling says staff compare those numbers to those recorded just before the order and for the same period a year ago.
It's a bit of a silver lining for the pandemic that we've got this reduced driving, and accompanying it is reduced impacts from driving, some of the negative impacts from driving.
Specifically, the CHP data showed a decline of more than 50% in both the overall number of daily collisions and in the number of fatal and injury crashes. The center also explored the financial impact of the abrupt reduction in highway mayhem.
You can take these injury collisions, the property damage collisions, the fatal collisions, and estimate the total cost.
The center calculates the reduced cost in collisions and injuries over the study period to be about $40 million a day, a total of nearly $1 billion through last week. Schilling says the financial benefit might be retained if large numbers of Californians continue to work from home and reduce their non-essential travel.
And I'm just going to stay positive that we are going to learn from this. It's an incredible event in a lot of ways. It's traumatic. It's anxiety provoking. And I think that hopefully that will make it stick in our heads.
Shelter at home orders, complete with reduced traffic, will continue into May in the state's major metro areas. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecke.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, April 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. And speaking of public radio, remember, you can tune in to your local NPR station for all of the latest coronavirus news. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Be well, everyone.
Support for the California Report comes from California Earthquake Authority, urging Californians to prepare for the next damaging earthquake. Learn more at earthquakeauthority.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems, and the California Healthcare Foundation, standing with all Californians as we address the coronavirus emergency together, on the web at chcf.org.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.